Welcome to InfoWave, the podcast, where we'll delve into the minds of industry leaders and discuss pertinent topics that would help you grow your business. In today's episode, we're honored to have Isaac Akoni, the Customer Growth Manager for Africa at InfoWave, a trailblazer in the world of marketing. Join us as we unravel the strategies, insights, and experiences that have propelled Mr. Akoni to the forefront of the marketing landscape. Get ready for a journey through the dynamic world of marketing leadership as we uncover the secrets behind InfoWave's success as a leading global cloud communication platform provider. This is InfoWave, your number one podcast. Do not forget to like, share, subscribe, and turn on the notification bell. Again, like I said earlier, our guest specializes in figuring out the technology's impact on businesses and uses this knowledge to guide organizations to drive growth and optimize revenue. According to HubSpot report, 39% of B2B buyers want to self-serve. And this is a niche that Mr. Akoni is very great at and he's a mastery of.
Oh, well, I try.
Good. How you doing, sir?
Very, very well,
thank you. Yeah, interesting. So let's start the conversation quickly. As a digital transformation leader, how would you describe effective marketing?
Marketing generally is any set of activities that drives, at the end of the day, sales. So effective marketing in that instance would be any set of activities that, for the sake of a better word, effectively drives that sales. And so what you mean by effectively, it's how to do less, how to do more with less, right? So the end goal at the end of the day is to drive sales. That's the whole point of marketing. That's why we're selling. That's why we're in business. If you're not making money, you're going to have to shut down eventually. So effective marketing is those principles and those strategies that you use to drive your marketing initiatives in a way that you're spending less effort and you're getting maximum result. I know deep in the midst of the conversations, when we keep going, we would start looking at how do you actually do this effectively, what is effective and all that. But for the sake of definition, you know, to do less, to do more with less for profit.
So how would you say the trend has been over the years in terms of enterprise, in terms of businesses? How would you say the trend has been before and currently?
If you would take the history of the world now, you know, we used to have AD and BC. I think now we'd have pre-COVID and post-COVID, because COVID seemed to be like that event that literally created a divide between how we did lots of things, and marketing being one of them. Before now, what we saw with marketing most of the time was majorly outdoor marketing, or at least some sort of it. Now you're seeing more of person-to-person, right? The marketing that sells now is one-to-one. Before, you could get away with one-to-many. You probably can still get a one-to-many marketing. But when everyone went back home, everyone, no one is looking at big billboards. Most people are on their own. You need to appeal to me. Why should I shop from you and not shop from the next person? So now we're seeing the increase in one-to-one marketing. It's called conversational marketing. So you're not just sending a blast. You're not just, you know, trying to target people. You're trying to target buyer personas. You want to sell a bag, for instance. You're not just saying working class. Now you're thinking working class male that earns between 50 to 100K. Or working class adult that attended XYZ kind of school. Or that, you know. So you have, for one product now, you can have up to 50, 60 buyer personas. Because now everyone wants to feel like every transaction they do, every purchase they make is for them. Right. And that's the major difference now. One to many before, and now you're having one to one conversational type of marketing.
Interesting. So how would you say, what would you say are the key ingredients that are necessary for effective marketing?
So, you know, I said before, it's one to one now. So the first thing is you have to create the value and then have a way of communicating that value and showing how you deliver that value. So create value, communicate it, and deliver it to a target audience. Very, very important now for profit. So target audience is, you know, you're not just saying, I want to sell something to people, you know, however you put it. You must show me what the value is for me, right? You must show me how you'd achieve that value. And then you must show that you actually know me well enough to sell to me. It's something called show me you know me, right? So if I'm buying something from a vendor, from a customer, because someone is trying to sell something to me, I need to feel like they had me in mind when they were creating that product. Even though somehow I know, of course, there's no way they could have had me in mind, but at least show me some paperwork. Show me something that tells me that, you know, you thought about me as a Nigerian male between the ages of XYZ that earns XYZ, that likes this, you know, that follows this spot, and then you're customizing that product for me. There's something we're beginning to see with influencer marketing, some sort of brand partnerships. So you have a shoe brand, for example. Nike wants to sell more shoes in Nigeria. So Nike could just come and say, you know what, the shoe that makes you run faster. Or they could decide to partner with, what's this lady that, what's her name now?
The lady that
won so many records, Toby Amuson. Imagine Nike partners with Toby now and says, Toby special, you know, some Toby activated something. So Toby 01 or something, you know. So you have that kind of, that shoe coming out to Nigeria.
Yeah. Now, there's this WhatsApp ad they're currently doing now for the basketball.
Ugo. Perfect. That's one to one. So everyone now that plays basketball on the stadium or on the field in Lagos somewhere sees that ad and says, oh, this guy actually is one of us. Like, he came... but you know, at least it gives you the sense of a man can dream. And see the way they did the whole journey, right? They came from the airport, the Lagos, that tunnel, that, you know, Zenith Bank ad, of course, the bloody, but you can feel like this is the path we've all walked through. This is us, this is me. Like, if he can do it, I can do it also. There was a part, I think he went to a market and someone was selling his jersey, and the person didn't even know it was him, right? So that's one to one. So they are not just selling the idea of you know, someone a dream, they're selling the idea of a dream to Nigerian young people that can dream. That's perfect marketing. That's one-to-one, that's conversational. You remember that story?
Yes.
It's WhatsApp, right? Now, I remember it's WhatsApp, but the story was what got to me. And so you can imagine the ripple effect on many, many more people that way. So you're selling effective marketing. I think we've probably gone out of point now, but effective marketing is, you have to tell a story. You have to show me that this was geared for me. It's not as easy as it sounds, but there's so many competition. Now, if you're not doing it right, you can as well go home.
Mm. Yeah, amazing. So I was going to say, I read a report online when doing research that over 300% of companies that document their marketing strategies are most likely to succeed over those that don't. Yeah. So what do you want to say as regards to that?
I mean, it's true, but I was just going to comment that reports usually, you know, can be missed. You can create a report now and put any stats that favors you, right? But the truth remains the truth. And this goes even beyond just marketing. Any set of activities that is not documented properly cannot be replicated, right? I was on a trip recently, and you know, I was just seeing so many interesting things. This is that, and it got me thinking that we have so much rich history and culture in Africa, but we're not telling the stories well enough, and it feels like there's nothing. If you're thinking of a trip now, for example, you most likely think of, depending on your preference, you most likely think of some ancient sites outside somewhere in Europe before you think of going to Zimbabwe or Malawi. Right. But does not mean those countries do not have rich history and rich culture.
Yes.
Right. Ethiopia is in the Bible, so they must have some really, really rich culture. But because it was not documented well enough, you can talk about the literacy, whatever reason, no one is celebrating them today. Same thing for marketing. If you're not documenting what works, no one is going to be able to come back later to see and replicate that process. Remember, we said effective marketing is being able to do more with less resources. So if you realize that marketing or using this kind of tone does not work, there's no point having someone trying to reinvent the wheel and do that same process again. So yes, documenting marketing principles, documenting best practices is a must-have for anyone. And it goes beyond marketing. In any endeavor you're doing, you need to document what works so it can be replicated.
Let's focus on the enterprise in specific. How easy is it for enterprise businesses, large-scale businesses, how easy is it for them to carry out marketing plans and be successful at it?
So enterprise, by definition, I think there are lots of definition you can look at. What's an enterprise business to even start with? Usually you have higher revenue, at least yearly revenue, record revenue, maybe higher, lots of more customer base and lots of more employee base. Now, the challenge that I've seen with enterprises is there are so many people that need to have an input in the marketing process, which usually is a red flag, right? If you look at a startup, for example, and that's why most enterprises now are trying to be lean and trying to be agile. You know, okay, this is a squad, this is a team, operate independently within the organization. Because with startups, you have a CEO, a co-founder. If they are funded, they have a board. That's the decision layer, right? You and your CEO can over coffee decide on what next to do. For enterprises, you're looking at a CFO, CRO, chief operating officer, chief revenue officer, chief business officer, like about 16, 17 or more people in the C-suite, most of which would have some level of comments. So you have a boardroom full of 50 or maybe 20, 30 executives that know their worth, that they actually have track record of success. You know, trying to create a marketing project from that those kind of people. Chances are you're going to spend more time having to concede to the knowledge in the room and not the reality in the market. That's the major problem with enterprise. So how can enterprises then, you know, overcome this challenge? It's simple. Have a owner for each marketing project. Right. You can take feedback from everyone. You can take insights from everyone. But at the end of the day, the decision should be reduced to as little as possible. So this is the person that owns this project, right? Okay. And let them drive it. Because by the time you have so many leaders, so many people bringing ideas in the boardroom, by default, it's almost normal. If five people are telling me this is the right way to go, I would just eventually have to accept, and you must be right. I mean, you're a professional, you're experienced. But usually that does not tell you for a fact that that's what the market is expecting, or that's what the market will react to. The WhatsApp example you gave with the basketballer, there's no way of knowing for sure if we're going to accept it, right? I mean, you could do what you think is the best ad and it gets to the market and everyone tells you, what was this? Why would you do that? Culture sensitivity, something appropriation. There's so many big words. And what, you know, okay, I'm going to pull it out, you know. And there are lots of examples like that.
I was about to highlight an example of a certain bank that did an Easter ad.
No name calling, but I think you know you're going to. And even within the churches, they are, you know, of course, you probably know what I'm talking about. There are cases where someone, and in your mind, you know, you're recording and you're presenting, you believe this is the best. You know, you believe you're honest about it, but the market does not accept it. And you can't really control the market, right? And that goes back to the point we're establishing. If you've seen something that works, document it so the next person can do it also. And it's just the way it is. It's the way the world is. No one can really decide or predict the market, but at least, to the best of your knowledge, you should be doing something that, from a local source, someone that knows the market and can recommend, not just someone that has a high title.
Speaking on someone that knows the market, what is the place of target market? Because according to HubSpot, they said that customers are usually frustrated when it comes to inconsistent brand messaging.
Yeah.
So what's the place of understanding your target market from the enterprise point of view?
So enterprise, you know, enterprise usually has a bigger budget to play around with. And then when you have so much money, it's easy to, I think I heard someone say, shock your problems with money. You know, so if something is not working, just pay someone. They will tell you, you know, if you go to the market and say, guys, I need your feedback on this project. No incentive, no nothing. You just come as a humble entrepreneur and you just want the feedback from the market. They'll be honest with you. But if you go and say, please gather the market men here, we'll give all of you 10,000 naira. We need you to tell us what you think about XYZ product. You can bet that none of them will tell your product is bad, right? And that's one of the problems enterprises face. Because there's so much money to play around with marketing, you end up maybe not getting the true picture from the market. So consistent brand messaging is, regardless of what the market says in some way, my promise to the market remains the same. If I need to pivot, I'm going to pivot strategically and not just because today someone complains about this and then you go. Tomorrow another person complains and then you go. Eventually, you're going to get confused. Your marketing team will get confused. Everyone's going to get confused. And the market you're even trying to serve is not going to recognize you. There was an example I saw with Istanbul Airport. They call themselves the meeting point of the world. And why is that? Because on a given day, you're seeing about 100 different destinations flying from Istanbul Airport. Now, because their brand message is as clear as that, we are the meeting point of the world, every single person at the airport is going to work with the mindset that I'm having, in a given day, people from different cultures, the people from different way of life, you know, things as simple as how to use the washroom. For someone in the certain country, you do this and do this. For someone in another country, you have to do this. Things like accessibility, language translation, and things like that. Because the brand language is consistent, every single department knows how to approach it. But if today they call themselves meeting point of the world, tomorrow they call themselves, you know what, we feel more like the...
let's switch it up.
Yeah, and then let's patch it up. Let's, you know, something else. So everyone is going to get confused at the end of the day. So important that you're keeping your brand message. For InfoBip, we say one communication platform. We say world's connected. That's our message. We are connecting you all around the world. And that usually would not change. We can have maybe campaigns for different things, but at the end of the day, our promise to you is one platform that connects everything. So consistent brand messaging, 100%.
Consistent brand messaging. I'll pick you from there because sometimes you made mention of how marketing can go wrong. It can just go wrong. And you think you are doing the right thing, but automatically the audience gets it and it goes wrong. So would you say, in terms of marketing, are the errors from the brand itself or the consumers that absorb this particular kind of marketing plans?
I mean, you wouldn't blame the consumers, right?
Customers always right.
Yeah, I mean, even if they're not always right, it is, you can't decide perception. You can't engineer it, right? You really cannot engineer perception. Even if you have a case, a study group, and you tell people to... And I started realizing even brands do it, right? So they push an ad and they engineer people to comment in some certain ways. I didn't know it was a thing.
Really?
Until I found it out. So even things like... You get an influencer to complain about your brand, say, oh, these people, and then you now get other people to respond to that complaint and say, what are you talking about? This is perfect. This is engineering. You can engineer that for a while. Wow. But at the end of the day, to drive actual sustainable results, you can't predict what them. And I'll give you an example. There was this energy brand. I'm not going to mention names. I don't know if the story is 100% true, but the story is that there was an energy brand that ran an ad with three pictures. So the first picture was, they showed a picture of a tired person, right? The second picture, they showed a picture of the energy drink with their brand and all that. And the third picture, they showed a picture of the tired person now energized. I wrote about it on my LinkedIn page. From seeing those pictures, you get the message, right? You're tired, you take the drink, you get energized. Perfect. Everyone was happy. Good story. You know, no too much talks. Now, they took that same brand campaign to the Middle East. Now, the difference with them is that they read from the back to the front. Right, so they saw the same ad everyone saw. You're tired, you get the drink, you get energized. But they saw you energized, you get a drink, you get energized, and it flopped. Like, it flopped totally. Now, there is no way, because, and now that you have the result in everywhere else that read from left to right, everyone saw that, you know, this is a clear message, right? But you took it somewhere else and it flopped. You could not have controlled the market. Imagine having to explain, oh we meant from there. But the message has been shared, right? This is probably an hypothetical story. I can't confirm 100% that it's true, but it just gives you context into how things can easily go wrong. So Red Bull did an ad, and now if you see Red Bull's marketing now, they tell you Red Bull gives you wings because apparently someone somewhere sued them for not getting actual wings because they promised Red Bull gives you wings, right? So, and these are contexts you can't decide in a boardroom, right? You can't predict. I mean, to some certain level, you can influence, you can engineer reactions, but you can't beat your chest for 100% and say, this is how the market is going to react. The only way you can know for sure, like I said, is to localize where the idea is stemming from, right? Localize it as much as you can. If you're going to run a campaign in a certain country, speak to people from that country. Speak to people that have experienced running campaigns in that country. Like, and then I'll give you another example, right? We're running a campaign for one of the biggest e-commerce platforms in Africa. We wanted to go live in 12 countries, but we decided to start with two, Morocco and Algeria. So the meeting was in Morocco. We went there with our team, presentation ready, all that. We're ready to literally just launch, right? Was supposed to launch on WhatsApp. The campaign was supposed to be on WhatsApp. And then we got there and we met the country manager for Algeria. And she told us, but Viber is actually more popular in Algeria than Morocco. That was the first time I was interacting with Viber as a channel. Right. Now, if you had launched in Morocco, because I claim to be experienced, I am experienced. I had my manager with me, more experienced. We had like a full team of experienced conversational marketing analyst there, ready to go. But we missed that simple point. How did we miss it? I don't know, right? But we missed that simple point that Algeria Viber was actually more popular than WhatsApp. So we had to just pause a bit, pivot, and then, you know, launch on Viber in that country. Now, imagine we did not have that simple. It was just the one sentence: Viber is more popular in Algeria than WhatsApp.
That was it.
And that was it. Right. So with all our experience, we could have just launched and had a campaign on WhatsApp, and we'll still start seeing same message, North Africa, same context, same style. It will have gone to be successful in Morocco, but not successful in Algeria because we're on the wrong channel. So those are the kind of things that enterprises need to focus on.
All right, so let's bring InfoBib into the conversation. InfoBib, how is InfoBib assisting enterprise businesses to achieve their marketing goals?
InfoBib. So the promise, like I said, it's world connected. Yeah. That's one of our major slogans, one communication platform. So our open enterprises is the end of the day, the most important thing for any business is to be able to get in front of the customers. That's the most important. If you have the best product in the world, if your customers don't know about it, if your potential customers don't know about it, no one is going to buy it. So InfoBib's promise, and now we're helping enterprises, is we're giving you a promise and a guarantee that as long as your customers are on this platform, whatever they choose to play, we can get you in front of them. So if your customers prefer to receive phone calls or voice calls, you can get you in front of them. If your customers prefer to receive SMS, they prefer to receive WhatsApp messages, if they prefer to receive Viber, like we've realized now, whatever the channel is, InfoBib is telling you, we can get you there and get your message in front of your customer. So it's one communications platform where you can manage everything that has to do with customer engagement, customer interaction centrally. Another key to effective marketing that I didn't mention is data, right? If you don't have enough data about your previous marketing campaigns, how well did you go, what went right, what went wrong, you cannot fine-tune and get better results, right? So the other advantage of InfoBib that comes to play here is every transaction you have with your customer on whatever channel, you can see a centralized holistic report in one place that tells you, okay, you sent X amount of SMSs last month and this converted to in your way. Then you know, okay, if I spent this amount on SMS, then I got X amount of customers. Then my cost per customer is this. That means if I invest more in SMS as a channel, or if I invest more in WhatsApp as a channel, then I can be guaranteed of Y as a result. So the promise for InfoBib is simple. Right. If your customer is on the platform, we will get you on that platform. However, they like to receive their messages and their communication materials, we would sit down with you, craft the journey with you together. If it's chatbots, they like to give them chatbots. If it's a contact center, they like to give them contact center. If it's a voice call, they like to receive, we give you a voice call. Whatever channel, if it's USSD they like to receive, we'll help you create a USSD short code, help you create the logic on top. If it's live chat, if it's email, I can keep mentioning whatever channel it is, right? As long as your customers are there, we can get you there in one single holistic platform all across the world.
I'll summarize it in one word.
Yeah.
InfoBib is here to simplify marketing complexities.
Thank you very much.
InfoBib could pay for that. All right. So from InfoBib's perspective, how would AI, that is artificial intelligence, impact the enterprise, the marketing, the digital, the transformation this year, what's it going to be like in terms of artificial intelligence?
You know, there are two schools of thought for this. Some people believe AI is coming to take our jobs. Some people believe AI is coming to amplify our jobs. Again, no one can predict the future, or no one can tell the future. We can just predict it. What AI is doing for InfoBib, for example, and I give the example of chatbots. So AI, simply put, is amplifying our efforts and our activities and our solutions. So for example, I think I discussed this with you yesterday. If you look at a simple chatbot, a simple keywords based chatbot, for example, you want to, you send a menu to someone and the response is either yes or no. Now, for you as a user, you're just sending yes to your chatbot. But in the back end, to receive that yes, for a chatbot to be able to understand yes, we'll put about, I think, minimum of 50 different synonyms for yes. So for yes, you're seeing yeah, you're seeing YH, you're seeing yeah, you're seeing yes, you're seeing yeah. Different ways people could respond to just yes as a word, right? So that's keywords. Now look at no, then look at all right. So look at every single word that is, that's a simple keyword-based chatbot, nothing complex. Then you have to put lots of synonyms, lots of, you know, things in the back end for it to understand. Now with AI, with the click of a button, we can generate multiple synonyms, we can generate multiple intents, we can generate multiple scenarios. You can build a whole customer journey based on a prompt, right? So I want a chatbot that helps people order flowers in Nigeria. So instead of now sending menus, or what flowers do you want? Is it for a woman? Is it for a man? Is it for a birthday? You can have all that done, you know, at once. So what AI is doing for us, and I appreciate it so much, is that it's amplifying our efforts, right? Being connected to every country in the world is not small effort, right? You're thinking of gateways, you're thinking of regulations, you're thinking of licenses, you're thinking of approvals, you're thinking of backups, you're thinking of multiple things, right? Imagine being able to have all that done centrally and more efficiently. Again, definition of marketing we discussed was being able to do more with less. So AI is helping us, and I appreciate it. And the joy of it is that we're just at the beginning of this revolution.
Wow.
There's so much more that can come from it, and we're just here for it, really.
Interesting. I was going to take you to a little bit of the write-up that you did, or the research you did for Nivea.
Yeah, Nivea. Interesting.
Yes. The research you did for Nivea, and I found it very interesting.
Yeah.
It was fun to read, and the link is on the screen where you can actually check it out.
Yeah.
But can you just give us a short background on
That project? Really interesting stuff. Really interesting. Again, so we have established a few things, and I'll point out what we did well on that project. Effective marketing, right? You're creating, communicating, and delivering value to a target audience for a profit, right? That's the definition. So you know Nivea as a brand that sells cream. Most men, probably you cream, like they say, like it's like exam. You cream the part that's coming out. So how do you get people to buy creams in some way? I think that was the problem. That was the situation. That was what we're trying to achieve. So we launched a campaign in Nigeria and Kenya on WhatsApp. And it's called My Cocoa Shade, right? So you send your picture. That's how you start. So there's a campaign about it. You scan a QR code. And then you send your picture to that chatbot. Now, that's called zero-party data because you gave us that data. So just to put that out. You send your picture, and then we put an AI engine behind it that automatically analyzes your skin tone. That's AI doing the work again, right? So it picks your skin tone. Then it creates a color shade for you. Right. And now you have to now name that shade. So Isaac Coco Flush, something, right? You name that shade and then recommends a product based on that shade. Now, for you as a consumer, you're not buying just cream. You're buying a celebration of the uniqueness of your skin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes,
so
yes,
so for people, anyone that buys, that goes ahead to make a purchase based on that experience, you don't feel like you're buying a generic cream off the shelf. You feel like you're buying a cream that was made for you. Even though you know this cream was not made for you, like just you as a person, it was made for a buyer personnel that you're a part of. But the experience you get from it is, there was a journey I went through that was unique to me that led to this purchase. That's one-to-one marketing. That's conversational marketing. It's not just, hey, do you want a cream? Get a cream. It's a cream for your skin color. So it's just very personal, very unique, very beautiful. And we launched in Nigeria and Kenya because, of course, you have Africans there. And it was a huge, huge success. You can read the case study on the website, infobip.com/customer/Nivea. And that's just one example. The customer did not come to InfoBip and say, how can we send WhatsApp messages? Or how can we... The message or the problem statement was, how can we sell more creams? How can we increase our sales? Right? There are lots of ways you could have done it. But this was something we saw. We made it personal. We made it unique to the consumer. And then we got the results we wanted. And now you can scale this to any industry, right? I talked about the example of a shoe. If I'm not a fan of Nike, and a sports person I'm a fan of does a partnership with Nike, I'm most likely going to buy that shoe from that sport person or from Nike based on the collaboration with that sport person, right? That's a good chance. One famous American YouTuber, MKBHD, they did a collaboration, I think, Atoms. Before then, I didn't even know about Atoms as a brand that makes shoes. But now I know MKBHD, I know Marcus Brownlee. And so most people are going to buy that shoe. Atom is going to get sales, Marcus is going to get sales, but most people are going to buy that shoe. It's pricey anyway. I didn't buy it. But most people are going to buy that shoe, at least know about Atoms because of that collaboration, right? You feel like at that point, it's just you. Imagine they come and say, a big brand, I don't know, I keep mentioning Nike, let's go to Adidas, for example, and they say the Ninja style. And instead of the regular pattern on the shoe, on the sole, you have the map of Nigeria. I don't know how durable that would be for slipping, but you know, just think
Is that not free marketing strategy for
Adidas? I mean, they can take it. I'm sure they have lots of PhD holders and lots of experience, MBAs in their team. But just to sell sometimes, you need to localize it. And that's the point. That's what InfoBip is really, really good at, right? Wow. We have every channel possible. We have every market possible. No, the missing ingredient is we're going to collaborate with you and say, okay, this is what you want to achieve. This is what I've seen work. And the Algeria example I gave is just one of many, right? You've seen things, you know what works in one market, right? I'm not an expert in every field, but if it's Africa, leave it for me.
Yeah. If it's Africa, leave it for Isaac. These are many more you can learn. There's this masterclass that's also online. So if you want to check it out, the scroll up will be on your screen. So just make sure you check it out.
Yeah.
So I'll be speaking to Mr. Isaac Akoni, the Customer Growth Manager for Africa at Infobip Nigeria. He specializes in figuring out technology's impact on businesses and uses this strategic approach to drive growth and optimize revenue. Well, he has also told us about how marketing everywhere all at once, what could possibly go wrong, and how we can mitigate and manage the situation. Mr. Akoni, it was nice having this conversation. I learned a lot, trust me.
It was nice.
I'm super proud of what you guys are doing at InfoBib. It's amazing.
Thank you so much.
All right, so thank you so much for being here. Please do not forget to like, share, subscribe, and turn on the notification bell. And also subscribe. Very important. You know, I'm repeating it again. Also, please do subscribe and follow us across all our social media platforms. How can you reach you, Mr. Isaac? How can we reach you?
LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the only channel that you can reach me on. It's Isaac Akoni on LinkedIn. It's a whole lot of work trying to keep up with all that social media, but LinkedIn, it's somewhere I write a lot.
All right, so if you want to reach Mr. Isaac, you also reach out to me, then don't worry.
You can, but
I'll charge.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much, guys. Bye, till next time.
Thank you.